Hi, Marty Lurie here at KNBR 680 with one of the voices of the Baltimore Orioles and a wonderful broadcaster, great career, and that is Gary Thorne. Gary, I'd welcome you to San Francisco, but you've been here all week.
It's great. We've lucked out the last 3 years. We've done this in New York 1 year, Chicago the next, and now here with Oakland and San Francisco, and being able to stay in one place for a whole week is glorious during the season.
Well, they used to do that in the Pacific Coast League, you know. Those teams would show up, and they'd check into the hotel on Monday, and Tuesday they'd play right through a doubleheader Sunday. That's the way life was.
Much easier, certainly much less fatigue on the body for the guys who are playing this game, and those of us broadcasting it. Travel just take so much out of you. That had to be wonderful to be able to do that. And I would expect the intensity of the games is affected by that, too, because you're really getting to see the other guy a lot.
They always say a four-game series, by the end of it, you're sick of the other team.
Yeah, sick, and they usually have some little running nerve systems going. Something happens in a four-game series that usually sets one or more players off.
Well, the Orioles, an interesting team. Hit a lot of home runs. They're winning. Buck Showalter's doing a great job. I'm not sure how they win, but Gary Thorne will explain it to us.
Home runs, outstanding bullpen, and defense. That's how they win. Not an accident. Buck knew what he had. Really, that's been his ball club since he came to the Orioles. That's what it's been about. They've not been anything else. They've gone the power-hitting route, but he's keen on defense. I mean, that's really number one. The bullpen probably is number two, and the home runs are number three, because the home runs either are there or they aren't. There's nothing you can do about it. You get guys who can hit them, and you hope they do, and they'll be streaky, and you know that. But you live with that if you've got a bullpen that can get you through late innings of a game, and you got a defense that'll help out a ground ball crew.
Well, he's got starting pitchers that don't average six a game, though, and that's a lot of bullpen innings. Now, the sabermeticians will tell you, that's okay. Bring the bullpen in. Put them in as many times as you want. Is that the analytics for the Orioles, or do they follow that?
No, absolutely not. It's true that the Orioles starters don't go nearly deep enough. They're still looking for another starter. Probably won't get it. It'll probably be Bundy, who's finally coming off the shoulder surgery and then the arm shoulder problems after, he's got a chance to be a really outstanding pitcher, but he hasn't pitched anything in the last 2 years, 30 or 40 innings total, so he's got to come. Kevin Gausman is already there. They don't score any runs for him. His record does not reflect the quality that you get in his start. But no, Buck does not believe you just keep running the bullpen, and he is very careful about managing, and it's him. He manages the bullpen numbers himself with Dave Wallace, the pitching coach. They keep a very close eye on how many innings have been thrown. They're big on that no more than 30 to 40 innings than what was thrown the year before. Brad Brock, they've shut down but have severely reduced number of appearances in the last 3 weeks because he was getting too high on the scale. The bullpen management, is, as far as he is concerned, is the key to whether or not the Orioles can win games.
Boy, Gary Thorne with us. It's interesting to hear your take on this because we see the numbers and, you know, you don't watch the Orioles all the time. Zach Britton, I mean, they talk about him in the Cy Young race, and tell us a little bit about Zach Britton.
Well, he's as good as it gets as a closer right now. I mean, I don't say this myself, but from opposing hitters, you talk to them after they face Zach Britton, they'll tell you he's got the best sinker in baseball. Maybe the best sinker. It's the equivalent of the cutter that Mariano had. It's that effective. You can't hit it. I mean, you can't hit it. It comes in, and it's somewhere between the waist and the knees, and you start swinging, and it bounces off the plate. And he's consistent with it. It doesn't seem to matter how much he throws or when. It's there. He's got it. He's like Mariano was. He can throw that cutter, you know, all day long, and Zach can do the same thing with that sinker. And strikeouts, obviously, way up. And there aren't innings. I mean, maybe all year there's been one inning where you could say a team had an inning against him, which means they may have gotten a run and a couple of hits, but he's spectacular.
Well, boy, interesting. I mean, it sounds like Bruce Sutter or Willie Hernandez
from the
80s.
He just passed Willie Hernandez for left-handers in consecutive saves. He's got the new record in that regard from the beginning of the season, so he is pitching in that category.
Well, I look at the offense, and I look at Trumbo, and of course we remember him with Arizona. But I look at Adam Jones, and you look at Chris Davis and Manny Machado, and you say, holy cow, you know, this is it's like a murderer's row. Who's the most valuable of that whole crowd?
Boy, that's a tough one. And I guess that's good for the Orioles to be able to say that.
Yeah.
I mean, Adam Jones is the leader. He's moved from a number three to a number one hitter and loves the role, and he's still going to hit 30 home runs. And he's one of the most consistent hitters. He's going to hit 286 again this year, which is what he does every year within one or two points of it. He's on a tear right now. I mean, he's very dangerous at the top of the order, but the home run guys, they are streaky. Chris Davis is really struggling. Trumbo's been struggling. When their bats go quiet at the same time, you're gonna have some close ball games. Pedro Alvarez has picked the pace up for them in the month of August. He leads them in home runs. He's got a great power bat, too, in the DH role, which they're really going to miss in these interleague games. Matt Wieters has a struggle from the right side of the plate this year, which he didn't do before. And so it's been a roller coaster offense for him. When they're hitting the home runs, everyone's hitting them, and they're scoring 10 or 11 runs a ball game. And when they're not, which has been the case since the All-Star break, you end up playing in these 3-2, 4-3 games.
Boy, there's such a long way to go. Gary Thorne with us. I always joke about if you're an astronaut, you're not even at the rocket yet.
Yeah.
You know, that's how long we have to go in this thing. So many things can happen. But you look at the American League, and Cleveland has come back to the pack a little bit. Texas has picked it up a little. Houston's fallen back. Seattle all of a sudden is jumping in there. The Tigers went on their run. Toronto's playing better. Boston wins and loses. Who knows what's going to happen there? What about the American League?
Well, you just described it. That is the American League. I think it's going to be a three-way fight down to the wire in the East. It'll be the Orioles and the Red Sox and Toronto. I don't see any reason to believe one of these teams is going to jump way out ahead of the other. I don't think that's going to happen. And you got all these division games packed into the final month of the year, which will be great for baseball fans and really exciting. I think some really exciting games. I mean, Texas, I think, will take their division, and I think Detroit and Cleveland are going to go down fighting in the Central Division. They're great races. I mean, they just think they're going to be really great. There's going to be some really good baseball, and a large part of it, unfortunately, is going to depend on who stays healthy. If Bautista's out for any length of time, again, I mean, now this is like the third time in the DL for him, they can't afford to have him out of the lineup, and if he's out of there for too long, it could be very costly.
Well, we see Kevin Gausman on Saturday, Wade Miley on Sunday. Tell us about those two.
Well, Miley is the first left-handed starter the Orioles have had this year. Somehow they managed to go along without that, and it was really troublesome. And now they're hurting for a lefty in the bullpen, which they're still looking for. But Wade he's not going to overpower anybody. He's got a real good breaking ball, the 12 to 6, and he's going to work locating a fastball, give you the changeup, and throw the breaking ball. He's going to pitch. He has to pitch. And for Kevin Gausman, even though he's going to throw 95 to 97 miles an hour at times, he too is going to rely on off-speed pitches and location. He's working on a splitter, which is his changeup, and when he's got that, it's a really good pitch. I mean, it does fall off the table for him, but he has to find out early in the game exactly what he's got for a repertoire for that day. So you'll see in the first two innings him working on all of his pitches and deciding what he's got.
Boy, we've seen Miley here before. He's had some success at AT&T Park. We saw him here a lot with the Diamondbacks. So we'll see what he goes. How do you like working with Jim Palmer?
Oh, I love it. Jimmy and I are good friends. And we have a great time. We try and be the proverbial rocking chair broadcast where you're a fan and you're talking to other fans and enjoying the game. And that's what we try and do, get a few stories in along the way. That's hard to do with all the stuff that's packed into games, commercials, and promos nowadays. But we try and do that and just try and make it fun for the viewer and figure if we're having some fun, maybe they are too.
Baltimore baseball, boy, it goes back to the 1880s, the old beer companies, and the first owner, Van der Harst, back in the 1880s, and Baltimore has always been part of International League baseball. Great teams, heck, from the 1960 to 1990 or something like that, they were terrific. What's the state of Baltimore baseball with the fans these days?
Well, I think it's believing again. There were 14 consecutive losing seasons prior to Buck coming. And so you got to, I think there was a generation lost during that time frame of fans that just lost interest in the club and went to football in Baltimore. And now you got to get them back in. And that's what I think that's what this ball club is doing. It's what Buck's doing. There weren't many names over that 14-year period that you could attach the club to pull fans along. But and now that's all changed. I mean, you got Manny Machado, you got Jones, you got Jonathan Scope, who, as far as I'm concerned, is going to be one of the really outstanding players in this game for a long time to come at second base. So you got people the fans can attach to. They hear a lot about and watch. I think the state of baseball in Baltimore is very good and is only going to get better.
Is baseball panicked too much about the next generation? You know, we sit here talking about, heck, we don't know who's going to win a pennant. We got 48 to go, and, you know, anything can happen. Isn't that what baseball sells, as opposed to worrying, is the game 3 hours, 7 minutes, or 2 hours, 46 minutes?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's right. But I do think it's not that you need to panic over the loss of a generation, but I do think you need to be concerned about it. Because the kids, and I say kids, I mean, we're talking 20 and 30-year-olds now. The attention span's not what it was. It's a different world they grow up in where things happen instantaneously, and they expect that to happen in baseball, and baseball's not that kind of a game. I've always maintained, though, that's the beauty of what baseball can sell. Don't try and become something of an internet or at the ballpark. I really detest the constant noise and stuff that goes on between innings and during the game. It's never ending now in baseball ballparks. I think you go the other way. Go back a little bit and let baseball be a quiet game where fans can come, talk to one another, and promote that as something different. Different sells. It always has. And so baseball being what it was again, I think is a game that would attract people back to the ballpark.
Yeah, I love the story. Well, you said it very well as a lawyer, Gary Thorne, and he and I joke. He was the prosecutor, I was the criminal defense lawyer, and
we're both your honor,
and we're both talking baseball. So, but we agree on this, and it's a great game. Gary, thanks so much. Good to see you.
My pleasure. Thank you.
As always, Gary Thorne. More coming up. KMBR 680, the sports leader.